Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of Thunderdome Metal Reviews. We bring to you the Thousand Tombs of Western Promise. But before we move along on this promise, with me as always are the other four horsemen of the apocalypse, Ben, David, and Gabe. How are you doing tonight, gentlemen?
Nothing but railroad barons and scalawags. I can't remember. Whatever he says in the American Century. I don't know. I was pumped about the sound choice, and I'm glad you made it happen. It's got a good cover, too.
Shit, I'm just chilling high in the north like a cattle thief.
Yeah. Fucking Reaper just on the oil fields.
And mourning the Thousand Tombs of Western Promise.
Taking us forward to the 30s did not make it less brutal. There's that very strong There Will Be Blood energy for those of you who God.
That's it's just
Daniel Day-Lewis beating you to death with a fucking bowling pin. That's what this feels like.
It just the album artwork alone just says, hey, you're in for a treat here. It just looks like, hey, you can just cut yourself touching it. It's just, it's a nice
flower aesthetic. Moon, my friends. This is the flower moon. Anyway. So, yeah, what is this, Tracy, and why did you pick it?
This is, I believe, Wafer's second album.
Oh, I think it's more than that. I think it's three or four.
It is their fifth full length.
Fifth. Yeah, Tracy, because I went back from that last one.
Oh.
I've listened to three before this, I knew for a fact. So.
Oh, I hadn't listened to any outside of the.
Oh, I thought you knew them. Because I feel like you recommended them to me.
Or maybe I did because I had the Romancing the Violence, not Romance of the Violence.
A Romance with Violence.
Yeah. I listened to that. You need to hear this.
Yeah. And I liked it, and I went back, as I always do, I went in the Wayback Machine before, and so when I saw you put this on the schedule, I was like, fuck yes, because the two before this are both quite good.
Yeah. And there's just, who was it, Crestfallen Dark, was it earlier this year?
Yeah.
That has, I think one of the other bands that has, this very, western-y sound to it, at least mixed with black metal, and these guys are like, we're going to do it. I think they do it kind of in a more mixed, intertwined method way, because you kind of do get this country, Western Americana twang on top of the black metal go along with it.
I'm going to push back on that.
Like, you're talking about Crestfallen Dusk and this in the same sentence? How dare you? Like, that band has taken blues and put it inside of what they're doing, inside of that metal. This is like conjuring up an atmosphere of American West. There's no, I don't know, there's no mixing of styles here as far as I'm concerned. Like, the mixing of styles is they're playing like some doom metal inside the black metal on occasion. But it's very much in the black metal pocket, man. Like, I don't see that Americana so much.
Yeah, and where I would also push back on it is what Crestfallen Dusk is doing is more of an Eastern Hill Folk Appalachia thing than doing grand evocations of the American West.
Okay.
Well, there's the piano. I mean, let's be fair to Tracy. I agree. Most of this is sort of, I like it better than most black metal, I have to confess. But there's a little bit of instrumentation, but a lot of it, I agree with you, is sort of packaging and flourishes and monologues and such. So it's sort of it's just boxed in a way that has a lot of Americana to it. But
are you saying it's the Tombstone of black metal?
Like the pizza, you mean?
No, like the movie. I mean, that's one way. I mean, what do you want in your tombstone?
It's a valid question. As an industrial product, I just wanted to clarify what kind of Americana we were talking about.
That was amazing.
I was talking about the Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer.
Hot. Sorry, go on. Don't mind me.
He's talking about Doc Holliday, dude. Get with the fucking program.
I'm coughing. I'm coughing blood.
I love that movie, by the way.
I'm shy.
Before we go too much further, let me get some stuff out of the way. Released on October 27, 2023, American Gothic by Wayfair, Profound Lore Records. Had a runtime of 43 minutes and 47 seconds. It is their fifth studio album. Shane McCarthy is the guitarist and vocals. Isaac Falk, drums, percussion, keyboard, Jamie Hansen, bass and vocals, Joe Strong Trucelli on guitar. They did bring in Chris McNaughton to play the Hammond organ, and George Cessna to do some vocals, and Munley J. Munley to do a voiceover. And this was produced by Arthur Risk.
Well, in fact, that Jamie Hansen used to be part of the boy supergroup Hansen. That's not true. That'd be amazing, though. Mbop. Just get Mbop in here. there's your genre shifting.
Oh, yeah.
I think for the Tracy, players. This is... Tracy consumes, I think, usually straight Norwegian black metal, like lines of it off of a mirror. So I think for him, this packaging and approach screamed America in a way that confused and frightened him.
I don't doubt that there's American stuff in here. I really think it's in there. It's just in a really, really different way than I think that bands like Crestfallen Dusk or something else like Zeal and Ardor. Let's put that out there. Put that in the same category.
Panopticon.
Or Panopticon for that matter. Although Panopticon, I would say. Or Blackbird. This is closer. I would say this is closer to Panopticon as far as I know. And I think that, yeah, they do succeed a little bit at that evocation. It's not just all in your mind. Like, you don't have to do it all that work yourself. It's there. But the question is, like, you know, how much of that is needed for a record called American Gothic? Like, do they put the right amount of Americana juice in there? Or do they still need some more? Or could they put less in and still get away with calling it American Gothic?
I thought this one, I do think they do more of it on this one than they did the previous one. And I do think there are times that it kind of does get a little too much for them. Like, it kind of gets away from them.
So I hadn't thought about it that philosophically until Gabe just brought it up. But because this really just felt like it was trying to be the big American, imagined American West. And I didn't necessarily consider that American Gothic. But so maybe Western Gothic would have been more appropriate. Because I don't think it's evocative of the entire nation, if we think about it regionally. But I do think of like the imagined theatric American West, such as There Will Be Blood or Tombstone or several other depictions of spaghetti westerns or Western Gothic, neo-noir, No Country for Old Men, for example. I do think it fits that trope incredibly well. But it is atmospheric as shit. I thought they did a really, really good job of that.
Yeah, I think they did that well in the previous albums, and this one, same. I like the mood and the vibe it creates. And I'm not into Western shit that much. I find it all, at least most of it was produced until really not that long ago, grotesquely antiseptic and hagiographic and ridiculous. Like, it was one of my least favorite genres of thing, be it literature or movies or whatever. But this is much more in line with, you know, I think a lot of the shows that are getting made now, like, what's it, The Show, Tombstone, or 310 to Yuma.
Yellowstone.
I mean, it's a little harder to pretend, you know, black people didn't exist, genocide wasn't happening, mass environmental destruction. I mean, stuff that just wasn't even in the canon at all. And so, which is, literature handled some of this. I mean, again, you know, good God, Steinbeck, in terms of just, or who wrote There Will Be Blood? Is that Updike? I don't even remember now. Sinclair Lewis?
I'm not sure.
One of them American, again, I'm not an American literature scholar. So One of them American authors. I have to confess, I don't remember Crestfallen Dusk worth a shit. I looked it up. I'm like, I give that a B.
Shame on you.
Picture.
Shame on you, man.
I'm sure a lot happened in 2022, dude. When did we review that? Was that in the fall?
I was at the beginning of the year, right on the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
No, man, it was only 10 months ago.
I'm sure I did it. And it hasn't happened in a while, but this one, I got to confess, I've like memory hold out. I'm like, I need to check this out. I don't remember this album or the shit. Cover doesn't even ring a bell. Usually the visual cue will help me. Anyway.
Remember we talked about the creepy cabin in the woods and...
Oh, yeah, sure.
The weird like saloon stuff. And
we killed a guy. Yeah, it's coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anywho, I thought this was a good album, even if I can't remember that album very well. You don't need to know that album to listen to this album.
No.
I proved it.
I definitely agree with that. And I want to say that while this instrumentally is really close to Trad Black, at least the drums didn't sound like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bonus.
Yeah.
I would also add to the positives. I think it's really great that there's variety to this. It's not just the Trad Black stuff going on. There's like slower, kind of doomier moments. There's also, I think the clean singing on this album fits a lot better than on the last one we did. Although I'm not sure how much I liked it, like laid over the harsh vocals, but that's kind of beside the point. I just think the clean singing works a little bit better.
Did you all listen to the bonus new wave track? I liked that song, Night Shift. Did you have that?
No,
I didn't. Copy.
It's not on Spotify.
Oh my God, there's a song on the end of the Apple one that is straight up, sounds like fucking New Order or Joy Division. It's really different than the rest of them, and it's really good. And Apple's like, that's the thing that reminded me this album was out, is that showed up on my Apple. You probably like this shit because you're weird. And so it was right. I did like it. So sorry you didn't hear that song.
What did you say the name of it was?
Night Shift. It's very different than the rest of them. It sounds, I mean, you should listen to it. It reminds me of Joy Division. Or what is it? Interpol or She Wants Revenge, to give you some current, more recent riffs on that model.
I think it's a Susie and the Banshees cover.
That makes a ton of sense.
Okay.
It has that feel about it. Okay.
And yeah, then I would like it. It was.
Yeah, and I don't, apparently it's like not even a bonus track, but like a single that they did as a special promotional thing.
Oh, weird. Yeah, on Apple, I'm looking at the bonus track version, and that bonus track is only Night Shift.
Yeah.
Usually Apple and Spotify aren't that different. This is a case where they are. Sometimes Amazon and Apple are different, but...
Sure.
Apple also thinks it's death metal / black metal. Blackened Meditations on the Violent Reality of Frontier Mythology is it says under the picture.
It's not wrong. I mean, that's kind of what it is.
No, it's not.
It's a perfectly cromulent definition.
Yeah. Yep.
That is what Apple, the dude abides. Say what you want about Apple. Loses an ethos.
And an aesthetic.
Yep. So it sounds like we all kind of like this.
I think the tracks are kind of too long, but yeah.
I had the album before this in my, it must have been my first end of year list. Was it 2020, Tracy? Was that the last one?
Yeah, you dropped it in because it's like, oh shit, that album didn't come out this year. Yeah, it was 2020. Because you put the album in that.
I think I just heard it late too. And it was on my, I don't remember if it was in my top 10, but it was definitely in my top 20. It was like 24. Yeah. I liked it. Yeah. So, and I like this one. It's a cool record.
I'm glad you're digging this one. We ready to move the tracks?
Let's do it.
All right. All of them. Like, I'm here for this fucking album.
I thought of you.
Yeah, I'm going to second that just because. Is it actually a concept album? I guess, loosely. But I do really think to get what they're trying to do, you need to listen to all of it.
I agree with that. This is just Take the Ride. If I had to highlight some things I really like Cattle Thief and Reaper on the Oil Fields. Shit, yeah. That song. That secret's there. And I like False Constellation a lot. And again, sorry you didn't hear Night Shift. Night Shift is awesome. The ending thing that only I know. I'm sure you'll figure it out on YouTube or whatever. You can probably find it on YouTube after this. I know we have a skedaddle. But this is Take This Ride. 50 minutes is not quite Ben endorsed, but also not catastrophic. It's not Chocolate Starfish.
Well, I mean, you know, without like that cover, it comes in around 43. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
I feel like it's less of a sin that the album is the length that it is than some of the songs are the length that they are.
Exactly.
It's really not that big of a deal, the album length. But anyway, I think, you know, the first two tracks, they're fine, but they are just run-of-the-mill kind of like subdivided triplets and tremolo picking. Like, I just don't why. But I really liked Reaper on the whole oil fields to enter my house justified. And I also dug like the last two tracks, Black Plumes over God's Country. And the last one is all right.
Indeed, indeed. All right, let's grade this beast.
I'm going to give this low A minus, a 90.
Is this going to end of the year list for you?
Probably, but I mean, that's right now my end of the year list is
600 albums.
No, not that much. 58.
Jesus Christ. Mine's pretty long too. I don't think it's that long. And there's a bunch I still haven't even listened to on there at the bottom where I have like question marks or this emoji shrugging. Yeah. Like, I need to listen to this. This week alone, Apple's like, here's 15 other fucking albums that all seem like death metal you've never heard of. I'm like, Jesus, I just can't even keep up. It's too many. What would you guys give this? So we've kind of, did you say?
I'll go ahead and give this, I'm going to give this an 84. I think I actually like this better than A Romance with Violence, but not like a huge amount better, but better for some reason.
I also like this better than I liked A Romance with Violence. A little bit more better than Gay, I guess. Even though like the vocals, I'm not a huge fan of them. I love the lyrics, but the vocals, especially the Fry vocals, just but I'll give it a B+.
I like this record a lot. Indeed, I liked it the mostest. I'm going to give this a 92. Oh, this is going to be my end of your list. I'll probably like it more as I listen to it more.
And I probably will too.
I would buy it.
Average of 89. I'd buy this album. Just like that cover art alone is simplistic, but it's badass looking as well.
I don't know what you like so much about the cover art. But
I just dig it.
That's true.
I mean, it's cool, but it's just like a fucking snake oil salesman's bottle or some shit.
Exactly.
That's part of it.
That's it.
Fair enough.
That's you said it, man. Nobody fucks with the Jesus. Yeah, it's I'm buying the snake oil. I'm taking it.
Yeah. I would buy this as well.
Okay.
I mean, I honestly don't think I'd buy it. I did like some of the tracks on it, though. I really do like the slow kind of doomy stuff.
All right. Well, that brings us to our final album of the night. In Gabe's pick, Seerth Ungol, Dark Parade.
Sarah's uncle. Here we are again.
Here we are again.
Indeed. With another Michael Moorcock album cover.
Yes.
With some sexy dark elf stretching. Helrika Mellenborn, just letting you know, he's flexible on the next album cover on Thunderdome Metal Reviews.
Bacaw.
Bacaw.
Etchy, bacaw.